When it comes to making plans, you are the best. What about those round trips, which are perfect on your way there and perfect on your way back? Or those meetings with friends, surprise parties, camps, birthdays. The same way you plan for the important moments, start planning to protect you and your loved ones from a natural disaster. Sign up for local weather and emergency alerts. Prepare an emergency kit and make a family communications plan. Get started at ready.gov/plan.
Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's a Shoppers John Deere Reaction Monday on Sports Radio 610. Here's In the Loop with John Lopez and Reggie Atitula.
You're In the Loop, Sports Radio 610. You got John Lopez, you got Figgy Fig, you got myself, Reginald Atitula, hanging out with you on a Texans Victory Reaction Monday, brought to you by Shoppers John Deere. Appreciate them for doing that for us, and I appreciate you hanging out with us. Always get involved with the program by texting in to the text line, 713-572-4610. There's also the YouTube and the Twitch. I see all y'all hanging out in there, and I appreciate you guys. Right now, somebody is arguing with the Cowboys fan in there. That's
good for you.
All right.
Have some fun. Like, get ready for that Monday Night Football.
Yeah, that's, we still got some weeks to go for that one, man. Y'all letting that simmer. So I guess shout out to y'all regardless, getting involved. Like, that's one thing that is nice about the Twitch and the YouTube, is that they're a place where you can kind of talk back to us, but you can talk amongst the people.
Yeah.
I think that that's also fun to have a community of folks that listen to Sports Radio 610 and have some fun with it. But this question popped up in the midst of the game as we're watching in the press box.
Yeah, it did, didn't it?
And it was like, all right, we can go ahead and mark this down because this is a conversation that needs to be had. Is this a disciplined team? And maybe the further question is like, can this be a disciplined team? Because it feels like the answer is very easy and evident to have. I mean, even just within the audio of the game, like, you could play something like this and hear.
He rolls down inside the 45-yard line of the Vikings, and a flag is down. What is this?
Let's see. Is it another one?
Yes.
Yet another one. And these penalties are killing the Texans. They had 3rd and 4 in Viking territory in the last possession, picked up 4 straight flags. Now, 3rd and 10 conversion to Dell. Beautiful play. Called back, 3rd and 15 on the way.
Okay, so that's from last
Vikings,
week.
Yeah,
but I mean, even this week, you had instances where you could point to it. I mean, the first one that I was going to point to is, hey, you get a stop on the first defensive drive for you, and Steven Sims out here trying to range across the entirety of the field and catch the ball on the move, and boom, now the ball is out, and you give the Jacksonville Jaguars an advantage in the game script and an advantage on the scoreboard, 7-0 early on, that they did not work for one bit.
One of the worst things you can say about a team, really high school, but especially in the NFL, is that's an undisciplined team. That's a shot. That's a shot at everyone. It's a shot at the coaching. It's a shot at the players. It's a shot at just how they operate. But let's be honest. If we're, you know, as you just mentioned, there's no way you can say this is a very well disciplined team, and that's harsh to say, but I think it's the reality. And there are numbers to back it up too. Right now, the Texans have more penalties, have been called more penalties against them than any team in the NFL. They have 40 penalties in 4 games. We can do that average even with our Aggie math, you know?
Yeah.
and that's
his words, not mine. I ain't say it.
That's 40 penalties. 27 of them are attributed to the offense. That is not a disciplined team. And that is something you know, we started the show. We're going to be giddy about what we saw from C.J. Stroud. You have a chance in every game with C.J. Stroud doing the things that he was doing. But you're going to lose some games if this keeps up.
Flat out. Yeah. And, I mean, look, this game, 12 penalties in this game. 93 yards of penalty yardage.
Yeah.
That you lose, right? And, I mean, you did not have them. They did not feel as damning as they were last week, where it just killed drive after drive after drive. There was a point in time, like, where we had, what, three straight drives in that Vikings game where you looked up and, hey, the Texans drive was absolutely scuttled because of a penalty. In fact, in that game, you had explosives. It didn't feel like they had explosives because you had things negated. In fact, you had some of that in this one as well. But no, I don't think you can call this team a disciplined team, because you can start with the easy answer of the penalties, right? I can also point to the idea of that, you know, of that Sims, the Sims muffed punt. Mm-hmm. But like, it goes further than that, because like, it's not just the penalties; it's the lack of concentration that seems to pop up in a lot of different places for this team. And that's the one that's even more problematic, because I tend to agree a little bit with the coaching staff of this team that kind of, I know that they're not trying to wipe this away or just kind of like shoo it away necessarily.
Flush it.
When they say that, oh, these things can be fixed. Because, I mean, they are right in some regard. I don't think that they're trying to say that, oh, that this doesn't matter. Clearly it matters. Otherwise, you don't address it.
Right.
But like, those are things that can be fixed. It's the lack of attention to detail at times that really ends up being frustrating, and then that ultimately means it leads to problems, right? Like one of the penalties that we're talking about earlier, which is the Laremy Tunsil one, where you know, he's blocking for a long time, admittedly, but once you're blocking for a long time and you're all the way on the other side of the field and you find yourself almost outside of your outside of your shoulders, go ahead and let go.
Yeah,
like at that point you've done your job, right? Like, and so getting that penalty ends up being a problem because you negate whatever is happening. Right at that point, you've now taken the play out of the hands of C.J. Stroud and the rest of the offense. Those types of situations where you know better, you know what you are capable of doing. There's instances where, like, I think, who was it on a kickout block that I turned to you and I mentioned, I was like, if you get that kickout block square, now you have more yards than a 5-yard run, which was good, right? Like, we did not see that nearly as much all the way through this season thus far, excluding week one against the Colts. But that 5-yard kickout or that kickout block, if you hit that, turn that 5-yard run into maybe something even more explosive, and those are the margins that you're dealing with in a football game. And so those kind of little details, I think those are the things that really are starting to get to me on, hey, if you want to be a great team, those are the things you
got to
handle.
Yeah, and what got to me is you spent all week, quote, cleaning up the pre-snap penalties. And for the most part, they were, but the other penalties were even worse. Like, you know, you put a focus on this, you know, probably more than you have in the regular season in a long, long time, if not ever since D'Amico's been here. They played the loud music. Remember that during practice? They talked about it. They were asked about it a lot. And yet, name a starting offensive lineman for the Houston Texans. Just name anyone.
Shaq Mason.
He had at least one penalty. Name another.
Kenyon Green.
He had a
three,
penalty.
In fact.
Yeah. Name another one.
Let's see.
Go down the list.
Titus.
He had a penalty.
Okay. All right.
Laremy, he had a penalty.
Clearly.
But Juice didn't.
Every offensive lineman had at least one penalty.
Now, the thought that I have with Juice Scruggs is Juice didn't have all them penalties, but there was an instance where, because I remembered it thinking about Jarrett Patterson playing for him, where it was like, oh, he's not getting to that second level and getting that linebacker. Juice Scruggs had one of those where you would have had a situation to get it. Well, then you also got beat on the outside. But if he gets up to the second level and gets that, there might have been a space for a play to not get completely blown up because he did not get up to his linebacker, which was his responsibility. It's like, ah, you know, the details of this, man, the details.
I mean, every offensive lineman had at least one penalty. And there was, you know, downfield. And I think Titus had the false start, if I'm remembering that right. Laremy lined up correctly. Boy, he went out of his way to get those feet, you know, even with Kenyon Green, but had holding penalties. Maybe there's a cause and effect there. And as good of a win as it was, and as much as C.J. Stroud, you know, kind of carried this team late, everybody knows that the penalties are still going to haunt this.
When it comes to making plans, you are the best.
What about those round trips, which are perfect on your way there and perfect on your way back? Or those meetings with friends, surprise parties, camps, birthdays? The same way you plan for the important moments, start planning to protect you and your loved ones from a natural disaster. Sign up for local weather and emergency alerts. Prepare an emergency kit and make a family communications plan. Get started at ready.gov/plan.
Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy day beds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Oh, such a clutch offseason pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop the Blinds.com Primetime Kickoff event happening now and save up to 50% off select styles. Plus doorbusters. Up to 50% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
It's kind of funny. Like, last night in chapel, our pastor Von Juan, I forgot what church he's at, but he's from Southeast Houston, and he's talking about you got to go through the mud before you get to the miracle. And you know, that resonated with me, not only just in ball, but just in life. Like, it's not always perfect, but you know, like, the mud makes you who you are. And I think the mud we have is self-inflicted mud. but you know, I feel like that kind of motivates us in a sense, and it motivates me just to, like, man, like, they trying to you to see, like, how great you really gonna be in this 3rd and 20 or the 2nd and 20, like, how great you gonna be. See, like, I just kind of just challenge myself a little bit, but you know, I don't love it, but I deal with it, and I respect the game, and I just know that, like, those plays, if we can make them, we don't want to live in that situation. We're gonna snip this in the bud. It's gonna happen. We're speaking to existence, but I definitely, like, it motivates me just to be great.
Man, Reggie. I mean, it's obvious.
Yeah.
Like, they're like, we can't have, even him as positive as he's trying to be right there. Like, I don't want to live here. I'm trying to speak it into existence.
Yes. Which, that is real churchese for, hey, man, I don't know what I'm going to do about this right now.
Yeah.
Right? But with that, yeah. And I think one of the frustrating things, and I'm sure there's other instances, but right now, it seems like all the things keep coming back to this offensive line when it comes to it as well.
Mm-hmm.
And look, I've probably overused this phrase, but I love it so much, is that the essence of football is about blocking and tackling.
Mm-hmm.
You got to get this blocking down. And I thought that there were some really good instances of pass blocking and run blocking mm-hmm. in this game. But you got to get the details down, because that's what can take you to a whole nother level. Now, some of you were asking us and the listeners to name players on the offensive line. One person named Blake Fisher, and at that point, we're not talking about penalties. We're just like, that's a dude who's not ready to be at the level that you need yet.
He struggled, to say the least. But, you know, we mentioned this earlier during Passing Thoughts. I mean, Kenyon Green wasn't anything close. And by the way, you know, you look at the Texans' rushing totals, and this speaks to the offensive line, too. They had 101 yards rushing, and you're like, okay, maybe it could be better, but I'll take 101. Only 78 came from running backs. The other ones were either end-arounds or Stroud's scrambles and such, like, you know, those types of things. So they weren't exactly road grading. Cam Akers, probably the best. I think he averaged like 4.1 or thereabouts per carry. But they have issues of discipline and issues that are starting to rear their head again that weren't answered. You know, half the time last week we were talking about, how would you feel if they win this game like they did the Bears game? And all of us were like, not great. Well, we feel probably a little better than that, because we saw C.J. Stroud do what he does. But you can't feel great. You can't feel great about what you saw.
Yeah, and I mean, people are like, hey, stop harping on the O-line necessarily, which, okay. I thought that the secondary had some of these where, like, I don't know exactly what level to get to this, and I'll get a feel for this watching this another time, mm-hmm. I think. Hey, man, secondary got out here on some double moves again. Like, that is a thing that can happen to this team. Now, again, Trevor Lawrence didn't hit some of these situations, but they can get gone on some of those. Another discipline thing.
Mm-hmm.
Derek Stingley in coverage was pretty damn good, but when it came to, like, coming off the edge, like, coming down off the edge and
the big run,
helping in the run, like, so he got a couple of times, mm-hmm. I think, on either edge where you are coming down as the cornerback and your responsibility, hey, filter that, you know, funnel that run back in.
Mm-hmm.
And he got too aggressive getting upfield, and then he got on the outside to where now that guy can turn the corner.
Yeah.
That's a detail thing.
It's a discipline thing. It's a detail thing. And last thing, this was a home game. I mean, they got three of the next four after Buffalo on the road. So if you don't get it cleaned up, I mean, these are the types of things that, you know, we're talking about. You can point back to maybe the Kalen Bullock tackle or the C.J. Stroud performance is like something that maybe really turned the corner. If they don't clean that up, and I'm, you know, that's the term that the D'Amico uses, then it could be an even ongoing, you know, bigger problem.
Now, with the detail things, again, this does not, that feels like a resounding no when it comes to, like, is this a disciplined team? You can't look at almost 100 yards of penalty yards and go, disciplined team, everything's good. How fixable does this feel? Because there's been assurances made to us that this mm-hmm. will be fixed. Some of it, I wonder, like, is it fixable, right? Like, you've had questions about, does Laremy Tunsil need that jump in order to be mm-hmm. at the level that we typically look at, right? I do wonder if that looks more fixable. But some of this, like, detail stuff, I do wonder if that's the nature of putting a team together in the ways with the constraints of the modern NFL and you being a quarter of the season in and needing more time to get everything locked in, right? Like, how much does it feel is going to change just by the nature of the season? How much do you feel is like, hey, this might be something you're dealing with?
Boy, that is truly something I don't have the answer to, because I would have thought, you know, they cleaned up, to use that term again, last week. They've never had a bigger focus on, you know, pre-snap penalties and brain lock type penalties than they had last week. You know, they've never talked about it more. They've never, you know, focused as much more. And then it turns into something else. It turns into another really bad game when it comes to penalties and discipline. So, like, are they going to say the same things this week? Oh, they have. I mean, D'Amico was talking about that as well. You know, as giddy as they were, you know, after the win, he's still harping on it.
Yeah, the penalties that bug me the most, and we have to get off of our tape and off of our team, is the mental penalties. That's the ones I can't stand, and I can't go for it. Like, we have to play smart. If we want to be a good football team, you have to play the game smart. And we talk about, you know, we look at other teams around the league, and we have meetings on these things, and guys just have to own up to it and be man enough to stand up and just play the game the right way. A lot of them just, you know, just bonehead penalties that are, you know, it's uncalled for, right? You don't need those. They're not helping us at all. When we still, we had positive things that happened to us, and we're going backwards. We're in field goal range, and we go backwards because of our own mistakes. So again, for the, seem like I'm a broken record every time I stand up here, the Texans have to get out of the Texans' way for us to be a good team.
Yeah, man. The opponents in this league are going to get are tough enough and will get tougher for these Texans going forward. You can't afford to be playing yourself as an opponent as well. And I'll let the 832 have the final word on this. And, buddy, John's not going to like it. On those penalties, it is what it is.
Oh, we're in the loop. God.
Sports Radio 6. I couldn't not do it. I had to do it. I mean, I didn't have to do it, but I did.
But you did.
You understand. Yeah. We're in the loop. Sports Radio 610. Hope you're having a wonderful Monday. the Texans did win 24-20. Sometimes it doesn't sound like it. But, look, against a Jaguars team that is not nearly as good as you, it felt like you deserved to have better, and you probably should have. However, you'll take the win. 3-1, second in the AFC as of right now. And so that you'll take that, and you have work to do is ultimately what is in front of you. All right, coming up next, it's about time to get into our lunchtime confessions. We'll do that.
Sometimes it's sports, sometimes it's not. Whatever it is, Reggie and John are keeping it real. It's In the Loop's Lunchtime Confessions, brought to you by Sagamore Spirit Rye Whiskey.
These are my confessions. Impromptu confession off of my bathroom break in the last segment.
Oh, I don't like where this is going at all. What is happening?
Before I get to the original.
About that clubhouse. What you did in that clubhouse?
I was standing next to Ron Hughley. Don't worry about what we were doing.
He asked
about the infamous underwear on our table that was left this morning. And I told him what really confuses me about that, by the way, it was Seth Payne. He left a pair of underwear on this broadcasting table right here.
And Seth Payne wears Hanes.
And he wears Hanes. But what I mentioned to Ron is I don't understand in any scenario where you would put a pair of underwear, clean or not, on a table. At home, you know, like, would you put it on your pair of underwear, other than if you're folding them or whatever, but like, in any scenario, is there any scenario in which you would have a pair of underwear, much less at work, in a studio, during a broadcast, where you set a pair of underwear on a table, on the table?
I mean, I do my laundry on the bed, and then it goes into the...
Yeah, door. I know some people that, like, fold laundry, and they set it on like, an end table or something like that.
Yeah.
But not outside of that, no.
But you're at work, and you got an extra pair of underwear for whatever reason. You're going to work out, you're going to travel, whatever. And you just set it on the table. Forget that it was here, and it was done.
Well, I mean...
But what scenario does that work?
What I hypothesized was that... Seth had his bag, his travel bag, you know, like, obviously came down, made sure to watch the game, all these things, and he's in studio. And I feel like maybe the travel bag ended up on the table and the drawers came out or something.
I don't know. They looked folded and set there like they hadn't fallen out of a bag.
I don't have.
Or maybe it was a situation where he was digging through the bag and was looking for something.
Set him aside.
Yeah, for that time being, but forgot about it.
Anywho.
Watch this.
I'm off of the John Metchie thing, man. This is the week. This could be the week. Maybe this time, dude. Like, he had every opportunity. You had guys out. You had an opportunity to make some noise. He took 9 snaps on offense.
I feel like if it was his choice, he would be out there all game.
Well,
right?
Of course, it's my choice. But Robert Woods stepped in. I mean, this was an opportunity. Like, he's had some, but I don't know if he's ever had one like this. I think it ain't going to work, man. Not here. I hope it works, but I don't think it's going to work here.
I mean, I can see how you get to that place. Like, this felt like a place where he would have an opportunity to step in. I also understand that, you know, Robert Woods is a veteran. Mm-hmm. I imagine that there's a level of, you know, making sure that he gets his touches as well. But, yeah, it is. I don't know that there is going to be room necessarily this season. Right now, the question is this something where you're building up to a possibility of him getting more opportunities next season? I don't know. But, yeah, as far as this year, it does not feel like he's going to have a lot of opportunities, I guess, knock on wood, unless there was injuries. Watch this.
These are my confessions.
It is my turn because Lopez went the double one. He wanted to talk about Seth's draws for some reason.
I know.
But yeah, after we had figured out about the draw situation, we were sitting in here getting prepared for the show, and we were talking about the Astros, and John Lopez is like, yeah, they're going to face off against the Triple Crown winner. And I was like, is John losing it?
This is the day.
Because I was like,
this is the day.
I had to ask him. I was like, are you smelling toast? Like, what's happening? You know what I mean? Like, hey.
Do you see a white light?
Because I was like, is he talking about Miguel Cabrera?
It's been a while.
Because like, I was like, I know that the Tigers are who the Astros are playing, right? Like, the wild card series starts tomorrow. Yeah. 132 games all the way across. And the Tigers are coming with AJ Hinch, right? All that. And I was like, oh. He meant Tarek Skubal. And Tarek Skubal led in three categories, which is typically what we refer to as the Triple Crown.
Yeah, but it's more commonly at the plate.
I did not think of it from a pitcher perspective. He looked at me like,
well, I guess this is the day.
Yeah, I was like, oh, man. I didn't realize it would happen this quickly.
Exactly.
Like, I guess you never know when deterioration goes. Right. You know,
so. It happens fast.
No.
It goes, as they say.
Yeah. It caught me. I was real concerned about our guy, John Lopez, not going to lie. Watch this.
I know the whole conversation about the game yesterday was a win is a win and all that stuff, but I got to confess, this is the first time in a long time where I haven't felt really good about a win.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I don't feel good about this. Even after the game, I was just like, man, it felt like a loss to me for some reason. And I know, like I said, the win is a win and all that stuff. I felt more confident about us having a quarterback in CJ Stroud than the actual W.
Yeah.
Like, to me, I felt like the way CJ just put the team on his back, won the game pretty much, I felt more confident about that than them actually winning the game.
I get
it. Or the way they won the game.
That's why after I slept on it, I said this morning, Reggie, I mean, I feel better today than when I went to bed. Because when I went to bed, I was kind of where Figgy is. I was like, there's a lot of stuff that we got to talk about. But this morning, I'm like, yeah, you still got CJ, though. You know, you still got CJ, and he showed it.
Yeah. I felt good with having CJ, but I was still in a place where I'm just like, man, that should have been a bigger win than it was now. It seemed like it was. Like, I thought they was about to lose the game.
They would have. I mean,
I was already like, man, they about to lose to the Jags. I was already in that funk. And then CJ ended up winning the game for him, but I just felt yucky about that win, man.
You're not alone. There's a lot of folks that felt that. It's why we started the show the way that we did. Like, how truly your true reaction on a Reaction Monday, and a lot of the reactions were mixed, you know? Yeah. And so that was wild. That was
and usually when you get a win, a good win, you want to break out a drink or something like that.
Yeah, you're like,
I'm like, I ain't drinking nothing like this, man. Like, I don't deserve no cigar after this one.
Not a cigar game.
Okay. Watch this.
These are my confessions. So Jonathan Alexander put together a really interesting piece for the Chronicle about the length to which some of these players go for haircuts.
Is that how you interpreted it? I thought it was just like the value,
the culture,
and
the importance
of a haircut.
But
to
I mean,
players.
CJ's, it's the lengths, because CJ moved a dude down here.
That's right.
Yeah. And who is it that flies every Friday to Dallas to get a haircut? He takes a flight every Friday to go get his.
Was that Okuda?
It might be. It might have been. And so my confession is, I get the culture of haircuts, but I
do
don't.
You?
But I nah, don't
I'll
get.
Do
this.
You?
I don't
think you get it.
But I don't get this. Like, okay, so you're loyal to someone,
correct?
You know, you like your hair done just a certain way.
Exactly.
It's difficult to do some people's hair more than others.
Yes.
So you got to be loyal. But flying every Friday to go get a haircut, moving a dude into Houston to get a haircut.
That's
no, you honestly, know what he doesn't
it's
get?
It's very common.
You know what he doesn't
it's
get?
It's not common.
No, so you might understand haircuts. What you don't get is having money like that, right? Like when you have the, when you have the capability to do it, now it's just like, what is stopping me from doing it? Because for a lot of the reasons that you're thinking about right now on why you wouldn't do that, it's just like, that's preposterous. That costs too much money. That is not a good use of funds. Except when you got it and that's taken off the board, why not?
Okay, that's fair.
Right?
That's more why than not? Fair. But the other part of my confession is here, I find it very hard to believe. No matter what kind of magic they do on your hair, you can find that kind of magic in Houston. You can find it here.
Oh, yeah,
talk
sure.
to teammates. Talk to people. Talk to neighbors. Where's the best? You know, you can find it here. You're taking an airplane every Friday?
All right, but think of it like this, right? You have simplified one of these things and aggrandized the other thing, right? Oh, look at all the hassle that you're taking to fly someone out or fly over there.
Yeah.
But there's also a lot of hassle in getting and finding the haircut and finding the barber, right?
It like, is.
And then there's the trial and error that affects. And when you, again, when you have it and you have a relationship like CJ Stroud, being a quarterback, you knew you got it. I have a relationship. Hey, bro, we can make this easy and I don't have to go through that process.
There's 70 people in that building that can give you a heads up on a great haircut.
And I think also we are also talking about the anomaly within this. A majority of them get cut by the barbers that come in every week to the locker room.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
And it's, some guys have their guys that they have found on
that's
Instagram
loyalty,
or what
man.
Have you, right? But yeah, that's real loyalty. But again, it's also a flex. I got yeah. it. I got it to fly yeah. my guy out here
honestly,
and live with me.
Honestly, if I had the money, I would fly my my barber from Cleveland out here every single time. Like, I even asked him to move out here at one point.
Okay,
like,
CJ.
Hey, man.
I didn't know you got paid like
okay,
that.
CJ. All right,
I don't. That's what, I don't. That's why I have to go with somebody else. But if I had the money, I would 100% look out for him.
Yeah, I thought it was a fascinating.
Oh, my bad.
You're good. No, I just wanted to shout out Jonathan Alexander one more time. I thought it was a fascinating piece. The only thing that was tough about the timing of it was like talking about how it gives guys confidence and stuff. And one of the guys prominently featured was Steven Sims. And I was like, oh, no. Oh, like it went back. Like when he was a kid, like getting a haircut before games was always the thing that helped him play well. And I was like, oh, no. Maybe we got to change. Maybe we just need a different
cut. You need a new barber. Yeah,
maybe not even a whole new barber. Maybe we just need to go from a taper to, I don't know, a burst fade. Or, you know what I mean? Like maybe we just need to shift it up. Because that one wasn't.
Just change the look.
That was not the one. But all right. One more for me here. I recognize I need to do more walking around pregame at these home games. Like, obviously, I had the good fortune of doing the HEB tailgate of the game, getting out to a few tailgates, and we had fun.
Yeah, it was a blast.
But one thing I realized, we're sitting up there in the press box, and then they're showing video of the luchador ring. And I was like, I ain't seen no luchador
that's
ring.
That's the first time I've seen it.
And I mean, obviously, it was Hispanic heritage.
Yeah, they had some luchadors there.
And some luchadors. Toro was dressed up like a luchador with the luchador mask and everything. And I was like, man, I missed that. I would have loved to see that. And so I just need to walk around more amongst the people before these games. I feel like that is my confession, because I had been... really, really excited to get inside and get myself set up. But, man, that's not more important than seeing what's happening around these parts.
I need to see more of the wrestling ring every home game. They were throwing down, man. It was pretty good. Watch this.
These are my confessions. Hey, I'm a little worried about my coworker, Sean Pendergast, man.
Oh, no.
My man was going in on the whole state of Minnesota.
Oh, yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
So, if, for those who don't know, the Astros played in Minnesota a couple months ago. And I think they were being a little fans being it was something. I don't want to say all fans. But
and Sean went.
Yeah, yeah. Sean and his wife was there. And I guess some people were being a little disrespectful in the stands. And Minnesota, for those who don't know, they got knocked out of the playoff. They got eliminated. I mean, where they got eliminated from
playoff contention. Yes, sir.
Yeah. And Sean is crazy, man. He went back to that tweet pretty much of the video of him at the stadium and started retweeting everybody, man. I'm like, dog, look, man, I respect Sean a lot, But man, I do not give a damn about these folks on social media at all. I would have muted that tweet a long time ago.
It's a lot of effort.
But I know, man. He clearly I think it was a Saturday morning where he just had time.
Drinking his coffee.
Yeah,
he had his feet up.
Let me go back to that old video and reply to every single person that replied to me, man. That take a lot of time and effort, and I don't think he'd be able to go back to Minnesota anytime soon, man.
They're nice people. They'll get over it. But it felt like it nourished his spirit, which told me a little bit more about Sean Pendergast. Although they do have the Pettycast every week, so I should have known.
Yeah, he a good one, because I do not reply. If anybody say anything negative, for that matter, I do not reply. I mute. Yeah. Man, I'm not giving. Like, if you see me responding to somebody, clearly I got a little more time than I should.
Yeah.
But I do not give a damn about people that much when it comes to negativity.
We give a damn about you here, though.
Yeah.
In Loop, Sports Radio 610. Thanks for hanging out with us on a Victory Reaction Monday. Somebody was like, Victory Reaction Monday doesn't feel quite the same because the expectations are so high.
There you go,
and
Figgy.
It's our fault, because we expect the Texans to be contenders. And I don't know. I think they expect that of themselves, but I think it's a relatively fair expectation. But
now, if they win next week, if they win the same way,
doesn't matter.
Oh, man, I'm breaking out the champagne, man.
Yeah, we're talking different. Yeah. We're talking different. Now, I'll put that myself. Like, I will be talking.
It could be a Hail Mary type of game. If they win that game, I'm popping champagne.
Yep. And honestly, I'm not mad. Just disappointed. Really, that's that's the big thing. All right. Let's move it along. Coming up next, let's actually go around the AFC South. What's happening in division for your Texans? Let's do it next.
It's a Shoppers John Deere Reaction Monday on Sports Radio 610. Live from the Twin Peaks Studios, here's In the Loop with John Lopez and Reggie Atitula.
That's right. You're In the Loop, Sports Radio 610, after a Texans 24-20 victory, pushing them to 3-1. On the season, that's good for second in the AFC. Not the AFC South, second in the AFC. At the very least in that way, right? If we talk about the results as opposed to some of the process, the results at least are putting them in a place where they continue towards the possibility of being a real contender. The process is where, me personally, I know I have some concerns still that I would like to see addressed, but That's what the season's for. That's how you go through it, right? You ultimately continue to work on these things, and they'll have an opportunity to have a good test on that next week. But before we get there, let's revisit some of the things that happened this week, and let's go around the AFC South. All right, how's that sound?
That sounds terrific, because there is a lot there, a lot.
Okay, very good.
Yeah.
As we have become accustomed to doing around the AFC South, we will go. I'll allow you to pick dealer's choice, or I guess not dealer's choice. I'd be the dealer in this case.
Let's start with Indy, because we've talked a lot about it.
They've got a lot going on over there.
Yeah, about Jacksonville, and of course the Titans and Dolphins are tonight. But the thing with Indy, and I mean, first of all, what are they doing with Anthony Richardson after he gets hurt? It's his hip, and they put him back out there and call a draw.
Yeah, so Anthony Richardson gets hurt in the course of this game, right? He exited the Steelers game. He slid awkwardly at the end of a one-yard run at the Pittsburgh 5-yard line, which kind of led to an accidental helmet-to-helmet with Minkah Fitzpatrick.
Mm-hmm.
So he got up under his own power, and then he limped to the sideline and ultimately headed to the locker room.
Yeah.
So that happens, right? And so the thought is that Richardson had a hip pointer. And so at some point, the team decides he's good to go back in. First of all, we can stop right there and go, what's happening?
You sure about
there?
That?
Right. Yeah. Especially with a dude who I know Seth has been big on this. We need to go ahead and put that marker on him, injury prone. Like, he just, and it's not just because of the NFL, right? Like, and he only had four games last season, mm-hmm. and portions of four games, really. And he's already kind of dealing with some things this year, right? It's not even just that. Throughout the entirety of his football playing career, we can talk about this at Florida as well, and I believe, if I remember correctly, there's some high school things in there.
Yeah.
Injuries have followed him and plagued him. And so if that's the case, we need to be cognizant of that in theory, right? If you are handling this, you need to have that in mind. It does not seem like the Colts had that as their perspective, because they decided, hey, man, he says he can get back out there. He goes back in there. And so that's probably, red or yellow flag number one.
Mm-hmm.
Red or yellow flag number two, depending on how you want to mark this. The next play that he goes in for,
yep,
designed quarterback run.
That is so dumb. So dumb. When you know, they know what's going on there on the sideline and with him in particular. And then to do that, it's just ridiculous when it comes to how they handled him.
Yeah. And so after that, then he leaves the game for good. According to Shane Steichen, he said, quote, he felt good to go back in, ran the play, and then felt it more after the next play. Which sounds like a little bit of CYA to me personally.
Yeah.
The idea that, he was good before, and then he got worse.
That's
and then,
the one that
then
did
we
it.
Pulled him out. yeah, it's just like, why is that how you handle that? But now you're in this place where, once again, Anthony Richardson has injury concerns that he is dealing with, and that's a hit pointer for him.
Injuries and then performance. Figgy, before the draft, when these quarterbacks were coming up, the one thing that I just kept harping on that I just wasn't high on Anthony Richardson for because of was accuracy. Sometimes he just can't get the ball where it needs to
75% completion percentage on this game, Lopez.
33rd in the NFL overall.
I mean,
50%.
But the completion percentage in this game was high. Don't forget, don't ask me what the actual numbers were, because I would then have to tell you that it was 3 for 4 for 71 yards. That's...
He's 50%. He's 33rd, in the NFL. Behind, by the way, a quarterback that, came in for him and threw 26 passes, when Joe Flacco.
Yeah, and that's the thing. Joe Flacco comes in and actually completes passes well, 2 touchdowns in the course of this.
Yeah.
A 105 passer rating, 105.9 rather, so basically 106 passer rating. Are the Colts getting this, bumped by accident when it comes to their play, because they're going to get better because Joe Flacco is a veteran quarterback that at least knows how to do those things, even if he's not great talented anymore?
Yeah. I hope they keep throwing Anthony Richardson out there, because Joe Flacco is scarier at 787 years old than Anthony Richardson.
It is funny to think about, though, the Colts, since Andrew Luck leaves, you've seen them run out Phillip Rivers, Matt Ryan, and in various capacities, Joe Flacco, all of them over like the age of 36.
Mm-hmm.
Just kind of a funny thing. Unfortunately, though, Joe Flacco goes in and plays well enough to get the Colts a 27-24 victory over the Steelers. The Steelers leave the land of the unbeaten. They are now 3-1. There you go. Colts get a victory. However, it seems to be Pyrrhic, as they're a big-time quarterback that they have invested a lot of effort into, and at least draft capital. He goes down with another injury in the course of this one. All right, so that is the Colts. What about the other two teams in the AFC South? You can choose between the Titans and the Jags.
All that said, let's talk Titans.
Okay.
Because I still think I'd take Anthony Richardson over Will Levis.
All right, Titans have not gotten their Week 4 game in yet. That'll happen tonight, 6:30. They're on the first part. They're the first part of the doubleheader on Monday Night Football. They will face off against the Miami Dolphins in Miami. Mike McDaniel said that he does not have an idea of who will start. He has an idea of who starts, but I guess we don't, and he hasn't let us know. So that's what's happening on the Miami side. Tennessee apparently is undefeated against Miami in Monday Night Football in all the times that they have played.
It's interesting.
For whatever that is worth. And the Titans are going to go into a bye week on the other side of this thing. So, like, in theory, maybe you go all out, leave it all in line, but I guess maybe that's not something you should tell Will Levis, because then he might throw the football backwards.
Do it again. Like what we're getting at, are you sensing a theme here with the AFC South? There's one quarterback in this division. And that quarterback happens to be in Houston. And so that's a good thing. I think, and plus they're trying to win a game for the first time. I mean, they're trying to win a game. So it's a mess in Tennessee as well.
So yeah, that's a game that we will watch on Monday Night Football. Do you have a feeling as which way that one will go, considering you're looking at a talented Miami team without a quarterback possibly, and then the Titans as they are currently constituted?
That's a really good question. I hadn't thought about who I would pick in this game, because I'm just would stay away from it.
Agreed.
I would absolutely stay away. I think I might pick the Dolphins, just because of weapons.
Dolphins, I believe, are slight favorites in the course of this.
Just Miami. Because of weapons.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. So I guess we have left now the Jacksonville Jaguars. Obviously, they get a loss against your Houston Texans here in Houston, 24-20. The interesting thing from this one is audio-wise, and both of them are from head coach, at least for the time being, Doug Peterson. First of all, if you could give me this one when it comes to play calling. He was asked specifically on if there's any chance that he would take away play calling duties from Press Taylor, who's currently making those decisions.
There any chance he'd take the headset over just to change this thing up?
For what? I thought he called a great game. We, as coaches, we can't go out there and make the plays, right? It's a two-way street.
Ooh, boy.
You know, you guys can sit here and point the finger all you want, and that's fine. Point it right at me. I can take it. Okay? I can take it. So, whatever you want to ask me, say, whatever, write, go ahead.
You did tell us at your introductory news conference a couple of years ago, if it's not working, if it's not in rhythm, whether it's your plays or not, then you hand off the play caller. Is it just one of those, maybe it's just a voice, a confidence? You guys were cooking when you were doing it, so back in 22.
Yeah, sure. Okay, I'll take it into consideration.
He's
so snippy right now.
He is done. And by the way, he's saying, point the finger at me while I pointed at everyone else.
The crazy part about it is I kind of feel bad for him because he's kind of right, man. Trevor Lawrence had a bunch of plays he could have made that would have changed this game. Like, it's nothing he can really do at that point. It is on the players.
But he signed off on that.
He's going to get fired because they're not going to pick him over Trevor Lawrence. But what can he do at that point, man? They dropping balls. They missing passes. Right.
There is some truth within the stance of, I don't know, man. Like, we're drawing it up, and if they're not executing and they're just missing it, once we get them open, there's not much we can do about it. One, hey, that's not for us to hear.
Yeah.
Like, he was hired because he was a play caller.
Yeah.
Right? Like, he was hired because of this. And we cannot take this out of the context of, remember early on in the week when Trevor Lawrence got up on the podium and said, we flat out suck? And then you had, was it Brian Thomas getting out here talking about, well, you know, we can have the talent if we don't execute. Like, there's just a weird feeling around this entire locker room.
I think he lost that locker room.
Exactly, for sure. That's exactly what I'm getting to. It does not feel like this is going to add to that dynamic one bit.
And then acting like he's ignorant. Like, he was asked about his job status.
Well, that's the next piece of audio that I have for you. He was specifically asked if he's starting to worry about his job status.
Start worrying about your status at this point?
My status?
Yeah. After an 0-4 start?
I mean, it's kind of a strange question, but okay.
No, it is not a strange question. You're starting 0-4 and the people in the, like, it does not feel like your players want to play for you, dog. Like, that's not weird.
This 3 or 4?
I think this is his third year.
Yeah.
Yeah, this got to be his third year.
And he's up there. My status? You talking about me? Really?
That's a weird question.
Really? Me?
Part.
My status?
That is a man who is lashing out. That is the way that I would describe it.
Oh,
lashing out.
Man, yes. Just completely ignorant.
And been there since 2022.
You talking about my job? Me?
Year three. He's like, what do you mean?
Kind of a strange question.
Still
going good around here.
Right? And that feels like that's a tacit acknowledgement that is a problem. When you're unwilling to like engage, when you're just like, no. That can't be a question.
Yes, it can.
It feels like you're avoiding because you believe that there is some truth in that matter.
Yeah.
So, hey, best of luck to the Jaguars. It'll be fun when we see y'all again.
It's good to be the Texans in this division right now.
Boy, it sure is. You can say that one more again. All right, man, it's In the Loop, Sports Radio 610. Coming up next, I hope I said Monday Night Football. Someone said on Monday Night Football with that when it comes to that Titans-Miami game. But coming up next, how far can CJ and Nico take this Texans team? 713-572-4610. Let's talk about it next.
When it comes to making plans, you are the best. What about those round trips, which are perfect on your way there and perfect on your way back? Or those meetings with friends, surprise parties, camps, birthdays? The same way you plan for the important moments, start planning to protect you and your loved ones from a natural disaster. Sign up for local weather and emergency alerts. Prepare an emergency kit and make a family communications plan. Get started at ready.gov/plan.
Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Oh, such a clutch offseason pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop the Blinds.com Primetime Kickoff event, happening now, and save up to 50% off select styles. Plus doorbusters. Up to 50% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.